Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Well, Jim Bob, here we are again.
We are back to talk about Sex and the City. No, it's called a different thing. It's called Just Like That, episode 3, When in Rome.
Correct. And we are Suggestible and the City, a spin-off series, just like this one, if you will, almost, but yeah, not quite, of our show, Suggestible, where we recommend things to watch, read and listen to. We are married. And this time we're talking about one thing. The new Sex and the City reboot, as you just said.
That's very true. Is it a reboot? I guess it's a reboot, isn't it?
It's not really a reboot, is it? It's
like a soft reboot, like a The Force Awakens.
Well, is it a reimagining? It's not even really. It's like an extension of the beloved series. And I feel like the second movie just didn't happen.
No, I think everybody's like... in the general consensus that that was a weird acid fever dream that we all collectively had. do you mind if I talk a little bit up top about the Peloton situation?
Please. This has been – everyone is talking about this show.
Everybody's talking about it. Well, it was the biggest HBO Max opening, I believe, ever, which is huge because, I mean, they have enormous properties, you know what I mean? But it just goes to show the staying power of this show. And I know, look, we have talked about how there are absolutely problematic elements to it. Not all of it has aged well, but there is something about these characters that is clearly endeared over the decades. Anyway, let's make fun of it. So, Peloton...
I'm not making fun of it. I'm paying homage.
Okay, well, I'm also paying homage. This is a parody. But so Peloton, after Mr. Big, of course, has his heart attack, dropped by 11% at the stock market price. They actually released a statement through US Weekly where they said Peloton was reportedly unaware its brand would be a major focus of the highly anticipated revival series. That's bullshit. I'm going to talk about that in a minute.
just for some context, guys, he's doing the fingers in the air quotes.
That's right. That's what they call them. They call them the fingers in the air quotes.
What do they call them? Air quotes?
It's just air quotes. So they said something. Oh, look, I won't read the whole thing, but it's like, I'm sure Sex and the City fans like me are saddened of the news that Mr. Big had a heart attack, but he also lived what we would call an extravagant lifestyle, including cocktails, cigars, and big steaks, and was at serious risk because as he had a previous cardiac event in season 6. So these lifestyle choices and perhaps even family history, which are often significant factors, caused his death. Riding a Peloton bike may have even helped delay his cardiac arrest. But I find the idea that they were blindsided by this absolutely ludicrous, because I don't know if you saw this, a few days after, there was an ad from Peloton that was released and it didn't look like it had been done like in a pinch. It's got Chris Noth in it and he's like, look at me, I'm alive and I love Peloton, and it's narrated by Ryan Reynolds. So like all things in every show ever, it's just some kind of complicated marketing scheme to get everybody talking about Peloton. So that this stock dip and all of that, it means absolutely nothing. We've all been had, Claire. We've all been had. And I love it. And I love it.
Yeah, it is so true. I thought that immediately when the stock price dipped, because of course they did it as a marketing stunt. Yeah. Did they think that their stock prices would drop that much though?
I don't know. I think it's one of those situations. And look, I don't always like adhere to this rule. I did a marketing degree previously, not well. So don't take any of this as gospel. But there's this like theory, I guess, or an idea that, you know, as long as people are talking about it, it's a good thing.
No, publicity is bad publicity.
Any publicity is good publicity. Correct. I don't believe that's true. I especially don't believe it's true now. You know, in the modern day, because I did mine like 15, 20 years ago or whatever, because I'm a million years old. But But I think in this case, it's good. It's like a New Coke situation. You're familiar with New Coke. In the 80s, they released a New Coke. This was actually, that was before I was born.
And then everyone loved the original all the
more. Yeah, and they're like, bring back Coke.
The problem is there's no original Peloton, is there?
No, it's just one brand. It's just a penny farthing, I believe.
Well, I will say brand recognition has gone through the roof.
Well, let's talk about brand recognition because something we neglected to mention last week, and I'm coming in hot because this is really your area.
Coming in hot.
Is the fashion associated with Sirius because they have a new person in charge of, or people, is that correct?
True, yeah. So Molly Rogers, who's the protege of Patricia Fields. For those who don't know, Patricia Fields is like an icon, a god among women of the fashion industry, and she's known for that classic Sex and the City looks that kind of mixed high and low-end fashion pieces, and she's just really a genius and has just spawned a million women wearing Manolo Blahniks and, like, amazing coats and fur coats and big blue roses and birds on their heads. I don't know. She's fabulous.
What do you mean by, like, a mix? Because it's, like, is it ops shop stuff mixed with, like, high fashion? Is that what you're talking about?
Correct. Yeah, exactly. So Kerry will, in one breath, be wearing something from Chanel with something she bought in a flea market for $2.
Right.
So a very obvious example of this is in the first movie when she chooses her wedding outfit initially from her and Big. So she wears a white suit that she picked up from a vintage store, probably for like $10. That's very, very beautiful, but, you know, casually, you know, quite inexpensive with no brand.
Yeah.
But then she wore it with blue Manolo Blahnik shoes.
And that's what we saw in the
first episode. So that's like a very obvious one. But there Patricia Field is really known for mixing patterns and textures in really interesting ways as well, bringing in a lot of interesting kind of belts and unique jewelry, as well as lots of kind of headpieces, headscarves, kind of like amazing hot pants with heels. So each character has a really distinct look, and Kerry particularly has those like sky high heels that she runs everywhere in New York City.
It's interesting because like this is not my area, obviously, but it's something I particularly noticed like in this episode when seeing the three of them together, and they're all dressed so extravagantly, but not overly, I guess, but it's very unique styling and it seems to suit their personalities. And I don't know what that even entails. I couldn't even tell you what they were wearing, but they seem, from a very, very layman's perspective, it seems like they've nailed that aspect.
That's so interesting because that's what I wanted to ask you. As someone who really does not care clearly about anything to do with fashion.
You're wearing my hoodie.
I'm great. Anyway, I just wanted to ask you, your opinion, good, bad?
No, it's good. I mean, I think it's one of those things where I think it's like good editing or like good special effects, or which is kind of more my area of understanding. Not that I'm good at either of those things, but you notice it when it's off, you know, if you don't know anything about it.
Yeah, correct. And where this is very seamless, I feel like the second movie, some of the fashion was off.
Yeah.
But I feel like that was maybe the entire film itself.
Yes.
Whereas,
and also it didn't happen, so we all dreamed it. So that's probably why.
So Molly Rogers and Danny Santiago have done some really great things. Overall, people on the internet, bloody loving it.
Yes, I'm
going crazy for it, as am I. There's a lot of harking back to treasured fashion moments from the original series. For instance, in the first episode of this show, Kerry wears those famous blue Manolo Blahniks that she was proposed to by Mr. Biggin, and she wears them with a blue rose brooch that she wore with a big fur coat back in the original series.
Right.
But she's mixed it up in a new look. So she's got the blue rose with the blue Manolos with this sort of amazing culotte pants and then a beautiful tailored blazer. And it's just such a great look. And for fans of the show, it's a little bit like the Easter eggs in your comic book movies, right? People are like, oh, it's the brooch.
It's the thing from
So a few other cool things I've noticed so far, and obviously there's only three episodes. In this, the third episode, she wears that pink dress. Do you remember it?
The one from like the opening?
Yeah, the one where she goes to see Natasha.
Oh, okay,
This incredible, I was thinking of
that like that tutu dress situation that she wears in the, remember the original?
Oh, yes, dress? Yeah, correct.
So I'm like, well, she was in that? I think I would have noticed that.
Kerry wouldn't be wearing that anymore. Oh, my goodness, right. She's in her 50s. Or maybe she would. No, so this is a cinched-in waist Carolina Herrera dress. But what's interesting is that there's a Streets Ahead belt that's studded. It's black with, like, silver studs on it.
Okay,
and that is an iconic belt that Kerry has worn multiple times in the original series. So Molly's going back into her closet, and just how much fun to just pull out all of this fashion. Interestingly, she's also got a clutch. So Kerry's really known for clutches and accessories, right? Mm. That's kind of her thing that pop with her outfits. And there was a Y2K purple sequin Fendi baguette bag that gets a new life because it was stolen in season 3, and you get the feeling that Carrie's hunted down a replacement.
Oh, okay.
So it's just like this little nod, but all these tiny details.
I love stuff like that, like little elements of storytelling that like flesh out the world and the character that you kind of only know if you're like looking for it. That's really cool.
Yeah, isn't it? And you wouldn't even really, like, nothing's mentioned about it.
Yeah.
But you just would think that would be something she would do because it's her bag gets stolen and she loves it. So, you know, that kind of stuff is so much fun. There's also a slight controversy about her wearing a Forever 21 maxi dress.
Yeah.
And so some people are saying, oh, isn't that terrible? Carrie wouldn't do that. But I totally disagree. I know it's a bit of fast fashion, but I also think it's great she's wearing items that are actually accessible for women to purchase themselves.
Absolutely.
And also Carrie's always known for wearing, as I said, a mix of like flea market stuff and low budget stuff with really high end stuff.
You can imagine her walking past something and being like, oh yeah, I'll just grab that.
Yeah, exactly.
And she's not exactly like environmentally conscious either. You know what I mean?
Completely not. Not at all. She's very vapid. Anyway, in lots of ways. I love
it. What an awful woman.
She's not. Also, I feel like Miranda's character in this, I'll stop talking about the fashion book because I know I could talk about this very
well. No, all good.
But I wanted to just mention, I think Charlotte's fashion is very similar to the series. I don't think she's moved very far.
No.
And actually, I think that's almost a nod to the fact that her character hasn't really moved very far from where she was at the end of the series, you know, and which is not a bad thing. I think her and Harry still seem to be in a really great place and she's got these teenage daughters. But I just don't – she seems to be that similar character.
You see her, though, in this episode in particular, like making strides with a family situation, which we'll talk about, obviously, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, which is really interesting. Mm. Yeah, so – and I think her fashion for now anyway kind of reflects the fact that her character hasn't changed that much. She tends to wear these kind of very cinched-in weights, almost like a 1950s silhouette.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sort of took a time with her feminine kind of housewife vibes, I guess. Even though she's not that, she's more complex. But Miranda's fashion in this, I feel, in this episode 3 has settled in a bit more. She's a little bit cooler in this one. She's wearing a really great jumpsuit at the end of the episode. And this is something we're going to talk about, right? Heads up, there's lots of spoilers.
Yes,
right?
There is. Well, why don't we start there? Because things are heating up, Claire. In particular between Shay and Miranda, and I wonder whether her choice of clothes and the decisions that she's making, well, no, I don't wonder. It seems to be like a direct result of meeting this person.
Shay Diaz.
Yeah, exactly. Correct. And even though her bag is filled with empty miniature alcohol bottles, which is a sure sign that you are spiraling hard, yeah, it seems like there's like a big change afoot. And we find a little bit more about where Miranda and Steve were at. They haven't had sex for years. The only thing they do every night is have a dessert menu together and watch Danish
ice cream,
whatever.
And I have to say, I felt like those scenes were actually really relatable.
Yeah, totally.
Probably the most relatable of the entire show, right?
It did seem like an excessive amount of different bowls and things like set out. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
How does that work?
I know, like, wouldn't you at that point just get your ice cream in a bowl and choose
your toppings?
You
just like pour things onto it or whatever.
So I did love the chia seeds bit in the script Steve's like, she's like, they have lots of antioxidants. And you're like, yeah, because you're aging. You know, there's all these kind of harkbacks to that. But then Steve in the second, she's like, do you want chia seeds? And he's like, they get stuck in my teeth. Because as we've discussed, Steve is like 50 years older than her now.
I am shocked that Steve has any of his teeth, considering he's now a million years old.
Even the way he, like, they've really done this great job of like, because they were quite hot and heavy.
Absolutely. He stole her back from that super good looking dude.
Yeah, exactly. They had so much chemistry and apparently quite amazing sex, actually.
Yeah.
Really. And for ages they were kind of on and on, off again, sort of F buddies, really, weren't they? And all this sizzling chemistry. And that all seems to have evaporated for him, like schlubbed on the couch, being like, are you coming to watch the Danish show? Because I'm Steven, I'm nearly asleep. And to be fair, isn't that all of us?
That's my
every
life.
Every night
That's
looking
my life.
At Netflix when he's just like endlessly scrolling.
Steve's going to watch out though, because at the comedy special, obviously, she's like, this is awakening something in me, I feel, while Steve's at home eating ice cream in the dark or whatever he's up to.
And Brady's just constantly sleeping, having sex with his girlfriend in their house and then unsure about whether that's appropriate or not.
That's okay. But as they mentioned, it's like, well, it's happened. Like, yeah, we've already got it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's Miranda's kind of story arc, yeah. Right? We don't see any more of her university, really, other than that she sits on the steps with Carrie.
Yes, that's right.
But, yeah, so we're worried about her, as we predicted, being an alcoholic.
Yep.
Possibly because she's unhappy.
I wonder whether it's that, yeah, or whether they're going to do, like, full intervention. You know what I mean? Because if you make somebody an alcoholic in a show, that's the storyline that you have to then carry forever. And they can't drink and all, unless they kind of relapse, you know what I mean? So it's kind of, I feel like it's a serious commitment to give to a character,
yeah.
Which I'm not saying that's a bad thing at all. I think, you know, because it's a very prominent thing that, you know, that people have.
People.
So
absolutely.
I think that would probably be a good direction to go with that character. I remember once they did it on Entourage where, like, you know, Vinny Chase, the lead guy, which is a hilarious show. People say, like, Entourage is, like, the male Sex and the City, and I guess that is true, except that's way more vapid of a show.
And also really depressing if that's the version of male friends.
Exactly, and at the end of every episode, they're like, everything worked out, we're the best. There was a storyline where Vinny Chase gets, like, addicted to drugs and pills and booze or whatever, and then after he comes out of rehab, he's just like, I'm fine, it turns out that I'm not addicted to anything. And they're like, yeah!
Because that's a usual trajectory.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God. I don't think they're going that direction. But what I also thought was really cool about that stand-up set was that Charlotte was, like, affected by it because it was reflected in, like, one of her kids has come to her and said, look, I don't really feel like a girl anymore, and they're kind of going to openly explore that. And I thought that was interesting that even though she has this kind of what seems like a 1950s kind of aesthetic and, like, motivations, she's more open-minded than you would, like, think. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm. I totally agree. I also think they handled that really interestingly in that she didn't freak out and become really irate and angry or dismissive. And she also wasn't, like, overwhelmingly accepting immediately and just like, oh, excellent, this is great, come just tell me more. And she was worried and questioning and wondering what she should say and kind of panicking a little bit in the moment. Mm. And I feel like that's actually what kind of rings true in that moment as a parent.
I think so, yeah.
Just that you would want to say the right thing, you want to support your child in whoever they are and however they come to be in the world, but they're not quite sure yet either.
Yeah.
And so they're just sort of testing the waters with you and you weren't expecting that. She's just in bed reading a nice story with her daughter, which tends to be the time when kids surprise you with stuff when you least expect it. And so the fact she falls off the bed and then she, like, goes to talk to Anthony about it while she's and I love the fact that Anthony Marantino, him and, like, oh my gosh, Stanny are just bringing me so much joy.
They need to put more scenes of them together.
They're so good.
Yeah,
but, oh my God, they're so good.
Because they were separate for this. I also loved how she was like, hey, so, you know, she said this to me or they said this to me. We're not kind of sure where the pronouns are going to lie at this point. And he was like, nah, don't worry about it. Kids, like, you know, they wanted to be a dog when.
Yeah,
you
know? They don't even know. She's not even sure. Because don't even worry about it.
It's interesting because even though he's gay, he's so, like, black and white.
And
you know what I mean?
Conservative in a lot of ways.
It.
And has really, like,
definite
opinions about.
Really
even
funny.
The way he says, there's no gray. You're either hot or you're not.
Yeah,
you know, because his whole business is, like, hot delivery guys delivering bread. And I love that there's no nuance with him at all. He's either like, hot. Nah,
yeah,
which is so funny.
I didn't even make that connection, but yeah, you're right. Like, that kind of carries over into that scene. No pun intended, carries over.
No, I love that though. Yeah, so I thought that was really interesting and that's going to be interesting to see where that storyline goes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I appreciated that. I feel like that was quite an authentic moment there
in
the script. And interesting to see Charlotte's character grappling with teenage daughters and how that all unfolds. And Harry, what do you think of Harry?
Remind me who Harry is again.
Charlotte's Oakley. He's barely in it. Charlotte's husband.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's like whatever. I think he's just like, he's like a, like one of those, you know, wavy, like, I can't believe, I know exactly who he is. Where he's one of those, like, wavy, like, out the front of a shop dudes. Where, like, he's just going with, like, whatever happens. He's just like, yep, good, okay. So I don't know whether we're going to see a lot of depth from him in this story. Like, I wonder whether kind of he's done all the growing that
the character can
at this point.
And he just accepts and loves Charlotte for who
she
is.
And his family.
And he loves his family and his girls. I mean, he does walk in and do a big pee in the toilet while she's on the phone.
Oh, he's still funny, yeah.
And I felt like that was a funny moment.
Yeah.
I like that he's a daggy dad. And I thought it was beautiful the way that while Miranda watched that comedy show of Shay Diaz and she's basically – you know, suggesting that everyone needs to change and change and change your life. If you're unhappy, you need to like shift things up and question everything. And Charlotte, because she's in a good place in her relationship, rings home just to check in and see how they're going.
Absolutely,
and it didn't throw her into chaos, right?
Yeah.
Whereas for Miranda, it just completely threw everything up in the air for her and brought
she's
up
just
so
like,
much.
I'm trying to be a new person. I was going to go home, but I'm going to stay out.
And she's so intense as well. Because that's just something I saw. There's some commentary about the fact that we thought Miranda was the smart one. And it seems to be that in this particular series, she seems to be making some very questionable choices.
I think there's like, there's smart, like academically, and you can be rational. But, you know, when things, you get thrown a curveball, then. You know, that's a different kind of intelligence, you know what I mean?
That's true. And actually, in the original series, Miranda's never been very good with emotional intelligence.
For me, it's not like a surprising turn for her to be like, there's this whole other aspect of my personality that I've completely ignored.
Yeah, it is interesting, though, because there is that episode where she goes to the baseball match and gets set up with a lesbian.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And then pretends to be a lesbian to go to the dinner. To impress the partners because they want to add, in quote unquote, a lesbian couple to their circle or something. And she kisses that woman too in the elevator and then is like, nope, definitely straight.
Yeah, but I think it's maybe it would have been like, and look, that's not a like that's not an episode they do now, obviously.
No, exactly. But, that's what I mean. It's like very definitive. I guess back then the lines of sexuality were quite
definitely
defined.
I'd also believe that character would be like, that's not somebody I would be attracted to, but like something different that I've kind of never experienced before, then, you know, that's a different avenue.
Yeah,
you know?
Which I guess is what they're trying to explore here. Do you think they're handling some of this, quote, in finger air quotes, woke commentary a little bit clumsily?
Oh, definitely. I mean, but I think also they always kind of handle things clumsily. You know what I mean? It's always been the way, you know?
They don't beat around the bush.
As it were, yeah. And look,
no pun intended.
And look, I can't say like I didn't enjoy that stand-up set. It was just like, be yourself, believe in yourself. But also, and I've said this before, stand-up, if you're not a stand-up, and even if you are a stand-up, it's very difficult to do, like convincingly in a show or a movie.
Correct.
It's often like, you know, I'm trying to think of an example. I can't even, but like it's often, it feels weird.
It feels weird. Yeah. Unless they're a real comedian.
Yes. And even then it can be weird because
they've had to film it a lot.
And it's like scripted and it might not be them who wrote it.
Yeah.
So it didn't really feel like a comedy show. It more felt like an inspirational kind of like moment, you know, for just for two of those people in particular in the audience.
Exactly.
You know?
I know. And I think that was the thing, right? I was cringing too. I was cringing at that in the trailer.
Yeah.
I feel like it was better than what I thought it was going to be in the trailer. Like the trailer made it seem like just a motivational speech. And I felt like in that there were some redeeming moments of Shay Diaz in that.
Yeah,
set,
I mean,
you know,
obviously very like charismatic and like.
Yeah,
but,
and a lot of great stuff to say. Mm. But I agree it was part comedy special, part motivational talk, and it was very cringe.
Maybe it would have been better as like a TED talk or like a book launch or something like that. You know what I mean? Not be like, this is funny. Cause it's like, and look, maybe to some people, it's not clearly not my demographic. You know what I mean? It's not my area.
No, and that's absolutely
it's
true.
Not for
actually.
Me.
We're
so, you know,
two, straight white, you know, cis people sitting here.
Being like,
hetero.
Boom, not funny.
Exactly. Whereas maybe if your experience is different in the world, maybe it was funny.
And I'm not saying like
funny
the message.
Like I thought some of it was funny.
Yeah, and
too,
I'm
to
not
honest.
Saying the messaging isn't good. That's what
no,
I'm saying.
No, exactly. Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see where they go with that storyline from here.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Here's something, though, that I wanted to ask you about, because we were talking about this earlier this week. Here's something that is in your area. It's well in your wheelhouse.
Oh, in my wheelhouse. And that is Come on into my wheelhouse.
The irritation of grief and how this particular episode really kind of leans into that. And I'd love it if you could tell me and also our 14 listeners. Which I don't know the numbers. I haven't looked at them.
Hang on.
What do you think in terms of
Yeah, so it's something that I wrote a little piece about that I might put out in my newsletter, Tonce. And it was just something that the first two episodes brought up for me, which is this idea of the irritation of grief.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about anger. I know we have the different stages of grief, right, and anger is one of them. But this irritation is really felt very keenly by Carrie, I think, especially in the second episode where you see the way she deals with people in her life, like Susan Sharon, who just like talks at her at the funeral and then and that sort of makes the whole moment about her because she had something she wanted to get off her chest and say, so it really is all about her. Or there's Bitsy von Muffling who does that horrible thing, even though you think she's doing the right thing, but she basically just kept saying to Carrie, I know because I've lost my husband. I know, Carrie. And that is – and you can see the irritation, like the little muscles in Carrie's face like twitching, but she can't say anything because – and that's what's so irritating.
Yes.
So often when you're grieving – You are irritated by the person, not like angry at them, but exasperated by them, but you can't say anything.
Yeah.
You're standing in a nice dress.
Because they're being nice and whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like in that moment, Bitsy von Muffling was kind of undermining Carrie's belief in the uniqueness and specialness of her relationship with Big. And I think that speaks to a broader thing about when you lose someone, your relationship is completely unique to you. You guys have created, whether it's a parent or a loved one or a partner. And so the idea that someone could totally understand exactly where you're, what you're going through makes you feel irritated because, no, they can't because they didn't have exactly what you had, which I feel is the same in relationship breakdowns too, right, which are also a type of grief. So there's that. And so then in this third episode you see Carrie bringing that out even more. I mean, the way she talks to Charlotte in the third episode when Charlotte's just like crying all over the place and Carrie –
Second episode?
Yeah, in the second episode when she's crying all over the place and Carrie just can't handle the fact that Charlotte's so emotional and just tells her to pull it together and get in a cabin. She can't get away from Charlotte fast enough either because she's kind of empty and can't cry because she's at that point in grief where you are completely numb and the only thing you can feel is like irritation at every tiny thing. And you see that in this third one because she's not sleeping, she's barely eating, and so now even the smallest things become massive and irritating and annoying, the way people walk, the way people chew. And then obviously in this, when she's sitting there, you know, and they're unpacking the will in the first little part of the show, and the guy in there is the lawyer who's delivering it is like having an argument with his wife over the phone or something, and that's irritating in and of itself.
But then that leads into her finding
out that Natasha's being gifted $1 million.
Who is her Big's ex-wife.
Correct, exactly.
Who she
cheated on.
Who he cheated on with her.
With Carrie, correct.
And he basically ruined her life.
Yeah.
And she ruined her life, and also she fell down the stairs and like knocked out a tooth.
Correct, exactly, because Natasha walked in on Carrie and
Yes.
Me. So, yeah, there's a lot to unpack there, and obviously that would irritate you, but I think
she was more irritated by the idea of like Big being like this. I mean, you made a good point before we started recording where, first of all, as I've always said, he sucks. He sucks as he's like not a good person, right? But it also harkens back to how she used to feel with him, like uncertain, and he's a mystery, and what is he thinking?
And an enigma and a puzzle. And to find
this, like, this $1 million, so she goes on this quest to speak to the ex-wife.
And basically stalk Natasha, who then, blocks her on Instagram, and then she tries to go and see her, and Natasha's, like, lies and said she's in Rome, even though she just saw her walk in and, you know, all that stuff. And then she for some reason, opens a bathroom stall door and Natasha's
What are the odds?
There. Yeah, exactly. And then she burns her hand.
Very convenient. But I thought, first of all, I think also Natasha could have just taken that $1 million and just like been like, I don't have to talk to you, you know, because I think she probably deserves it. Big is like insanely rich as well. So it's like
$1 million probably
doesn't mean anything to him. No. You know, and she didn't seem like, oh no, what am I going to do? He's given her $1 million. She's just like, what's the deal with this $1 million? You know,
yeah,
she's fine. But But I feel like it was interesting how she was like, I don't want the money. Like, I'm not interested. I don't want to go over this with you. But it was nice how they kind of came to that understanding.
Yeah,
and she got to apologize and say that this was probably Big's way of apologizing because he sucks.
Because he was a finance guy and he wasn't big with words, which is you've seen it, like he wasn't good at expressing himself.
No.
And he did it through actions. Because
his personality's not good. He doesn't have a good personality.
Well, he's one of those, not everyone is good at expressing how they feel internally. They do it through action. But, I think he's a jerk, possibly.
But this is what we find out about him as well. He's got his home phone number written down in his...
Yeah, what was that? That was weird.
To me, it just took as like phone number. I mean, we don't have our home phone connected. We have a home phone number. I don't know what it is. So because Carrie didn't know what it was, she called it as well. He also had a dog called Goji, and he also had a Pinkberry card. And she's like, he's never had Pinkberry in his life. What's going on? He's a secret Pinkberry behind my back. And I think it just speaks to like he's just kind of boring. Just a boring man, doing boring everyday things, and thank God Pinkberry probably got in a good sponsorship. It's probably going to be like, Pinkberry killed Big. He ate too many, exploded his heart.
You know what I will say, though? That whole, they do a lot of Carrie walking through his closet.
Yeah.
And I actually think that rings true, too, with when you lose someone. Their clothes are what are still there. And when everything else
smells on them, and
the smell of them is there, the way they carried themselves. Yeah. And he had just like 1,000 suits, obviously.
Yeah,
and because there's that scene in the second episode where she leans her face into the suits and takes this big smell, and you kind of get that feeling.
Yeah,
I think that the irritation that she feels as well in this kind of choosing Stanny over Charlotte debacle, that started in the second episode where she couldn't handle Charlotte's emotional, you know, crying. And so she invites Stanny over instead of her.
Mm.
And then that continues into this little funny coffee lunch restaurant moment.
Sorry, mosquito.
Mosquito carries over into that little moment where Stanford says to Charlotte that he's been talking to his therapist about it.
I like how they're like, we're not friends.
Yeah, and they never have been.
No, the only thing I really remember of them is that they, like she tried to set him up with Anthony.
Yeah,
that's they ended
so
up
true.
Together anyway. But like thinking about it, I'm like, yeah, I don't remember them ever. He's Carrie's friend, really, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I could see, I mean, he's a very jealous, petty person anyway. And she can be in some ways.
Yeah.
So that's just a really funny little dynamic there going on between the two of them. So I wonder if they'll explore that a little bit more as a side story.
I wanted to ask as well, or talk a bit more about, or ask and talk. This is a conversation.
It's about us both saying things.
We say things, but we say things hopefully at different times.
Correct.
So that this becomes clear to anybody listening. So this I feel is different to the original series in a number of ways, but I feel like this has more of an ongoing narrative. And I know the original series did. There is an ongoing narrative of like, you know, she's dating this person for a time and whatever, you know. I don't need to explain what an ongoing narrative
is. All of the things, and they're like this leap. Yeah. Usually the arc would be her getting together with someone.
Exactly.
And then being in the relationship with someone and then breaking up with someone.
That's right. Yeah. So, but this I feel has more, it's more about the ongoing narrative than like the individual story. Whereas initially, and maybe this had something to do with like in the original show, like the theme or the message or whatever it was at the end, Carrie would go, anyways, in summary, I learned this, 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 and this. And this show, like, doesn't do that because she's not writing a column. So you don't get that kind of narrative, bookending.
Now I'm just thinking in my head, does Carrie narrate this?
A little bit at the end. She's like, and just like that, I went back to my apartment.
That's right.
And that, but like, you don't. She's not writing anything.
No, so it's not, you're right. Like, the original used Candace Bushnell's columns as inspiration and so really weaved very much her kind of column into each episode. And often Candace would use like a distinct archetype, like a bicycle boy who is like a caricature of a man that would ride a bicycle around New York City, and then what they ostensibly were like as an archetype. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I think whereas they're not doing that,
they're
not kind of – each episode doesn't seem to have a theme in the same way that – and I kind of loved – the way they were themed.
Yeah.
But
and there still is, but like it's kind of like New Dexter. And I know you've been watching New Dexter, Dexter New Blood.
Definitely.
I don't want to get into it too heavily, but we do have another podcast. It's called Dexcestable. No, we don't. But
Suggestible.
Dexcestable.
That's it. You nailed
it. I don't know.
It.
I don't know what I'm talking
He's
about.
He's done it.
It's getting late. But I can't remember what I was going to say.
How it's more like new Dexter because it's less thematic.
Yes.
And more of an ongoing
there is
story.
There is things, but it's obviously – I was going to say a particular thing and I've completely lost it. It's out of my brain. But I will say this. We're always talking about what's new, what's coming up, what cameos are we getting. And this week we got Carrie's dog shit apartment where she goes to at the end.
Oh, my God. It's so beautiful.
Her awful apartment.
Which is
that's the other thing
so
I was
going
to say. Sorry, I was going to say.
He's back. He's back, guys.
I think it's an interesting choice to be like she's not riding anymore. I think because who cares about this rich woman being like, what's going on in my life? And my friend said this. It's like no one gives a shit. You've got like $40 million. Nobody cares. And also, there's no money in print anymore. There was in the 90s and the 80s, but what you wouldn't need to do it, really. You know what I mean? Like, also, it's not only that, she doesn't need to do it because she's rich, you know?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyways, sorry.
No, I totally agree. And I feel like I really hate the podcast that she's doing.
It's not good.
It's bad.
Well, it's
so
scripted
bad.
As well. It's scripted. It's not like this podcast,
which is like so free.
We should do the podcast. They should cut to us in the show and just go, what's going on with Stanford? He's so mean. He's so petty. What a bitch.
It's just, I feel like it's been written by someone who's never listened to a podcast.
Yeah.
Because it's very radio.
And there's like eight people watching and going, yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And there's like buttons that you press and like, moment.
To be fair, I was hoping for the womp womp button, but
yeah,
I got that one.
Yeah, no, you got like the guitar riff.
Yeah.
But yeah, we do have buttons, we just never use them.
Well, we don't have like a woke button. you're talking about an underage girl button or whatever.
Yeah. I actually feel like they would have been better to have had like Carrie with Shay Diaz or with someone else, like a good friend or something. Like
in her real life?
Yeah,
so they've got like chemistry?
Yeah, that's what I mean, in her real life and just sitting in her apartment
yeah,
with
absolutely.
Microphones.
Yeah.
Because I think that's more reflective of what a podcast actually is, right? I mean,
now
they're
big. To
be
fair, it is big business, but like I find the idea of like eight people sitting by the sidelines and going like, good joke, great joke. This is, and they're all like, yeah, good stuff. We love podcasting.
It just, like,
yeah.
doesn't really fit.
Even like Joe Rogan, who's like the biggest bonehead podcaster in the world. I'm just kidding. I'm a massive Rogan fan. I listen to all of his episodes. I love how his brain is collapsing like a dying star. But it's just him and like another guy who like watches the.
That's what
and
I mean.
He gets millions of. It's got $100 million deal, and that's what he does.
That's what I mean. Yeah. So like it could have just been Carrie in her flat having a little pod studio with a friend and maybe a producer.
Mm.
I just feel like that would have, you know, rung more true than her just doing little bits in this big podcast that sort of. I don't know. It just doesn't feel.
Maybe it's just not a good podcast, like even within the universe. Maybe that's what's going on.
But actually, that's not necessarily wrong.
Yeah, I don't think that's what it's supposed to be. I think it's supposed to be, this is great, and Carrie, you really need to pull your weight. I think that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, that's kind of the vibe of it, right?
She should just do a podcast with her friends, you know, her friends that she has actual chemistry with. Anyways, the old apartment's coming up. We're going to be seeing the inside of it.
Yes.
What's next, Claire? I love predictions. I love speculation.
Why are you yelling?
I love getting excited.
Who's gonna
trundle back into her life? Are we gonna get a new relationship happening? She's gonna have at least one date before the end of the season, right?
Yeah.
It's gonna be someone old, right? It has to be.
Okay, so I know for a fact that Aiden is chuffing his way back somewhere.
Oh,
somehow.
I didn't know that.
I don't know exactly when or where he will come, but in some way he will chuff on in. Who knows how, but he is going to.
Oh, I didn't know that. You know what I'd love?
What?
If, like, they get back together and they're hooking up and they're lying in bed together and then she, like, opens his drawer and it's like, oh, my God, he switched Big's heart medication. It was Aiden. He killed him. He killed Big.
I thought you were going to say Carrie's found her new fetish, which is asking her partner to, like, masturbate in front of her or something.
Sure. I mean, look, to be fair, I think what's that guy's name? I can't remember. John Corbin was his name? Can't remember. The actor who plays Aiden. I think he's someone who could probably pull that off more than Big, if I'm honest. I think it's John Corbin?
It doesn't feel right.
John Corbin.
Aiden Shaw is played by John Corbett.
Oh, okay. Well, I was on the right track, sort of, wasn't I?
He's excellent.
All right. So it's Aiden then.
But I don't think he's going to come first, though.
Okay.
I feel like, no pun intended, I feel like someone else is going to pop into her life first. And I wonder if it's like a Jack burger.
Oh, a burger. Interesting. Yeah.
I don't know. Who do you think? What do you think?
I think it's going to be Aiden. That's what I think it's going to be.
Yeah,
you no think? Surprises.
No, you think? Because he was in the second movie.
Exactly.
That weird storyline.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or they're going to bring someone new in.
I think that would be
I feel like, you know what I feel? I feel like maybe she's going to go on the dating apps or
something. And she's like, I'm on the dating apps. And the podcast co-host are like, well, you bloody, you know, if you go on the dating app, I've got a button for that. Dating app alert or whatever.
Maybe she's going to go with like a hunk, like a hunky hunk.
She's done like the younger guy thing before, right? So like if you did that, like what would be the perspective?
The perspective on
I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. We'll have to find out.
Anyway, speaking of apps, you know you can review this podcast and you should review it because it's a brand new podcast. You can do it in-app just like W. Mascalina who says, and just like that. And just like that, I'm convinced that I have to watch every episode of Sex and the City just to understand this podcast. Thank you so much for coming on board. That was 5 stars in-app. It's our first review. I'm going to read a few out or however many we get or whatever every week. We'd really appreciate that.
We absolutely would.
I love doing this.
I love it too. You love it so much. This is your bread and butter.
I love recaps, Claire.
I know, you bloody love it. All right, so you can also email the show with suggestions, with
this
with
is your bread and butter.
Because lots of people have feelings, and I love talking about feelings. And Elliot Cook emailed us at suggestivepod@gmail.com about the show. So here he goes. Hi, Claire and Claire's husband. Already like you a lot, Elliot. So I'm a 22-year-old guy who's never seen Sex in the City because, you know, I'm a 22-year-old guy.
Absolutely.
But decided to settle in to watch And Just Like That for two main reasons.
Here we go. Number one.
I'm a big fan of James's Less Successful podcast. We got that covered.
Oh, yeah.
And have been with Suggestible since the start.
Yes.
I try to listen, watch, experience one thing you guys recommend a week.
Oh, that's awesome.
The second reason was I had my booster jab yesterday and feel terrible. No shade to the vax, but I'm just weak. So I just wanted something to watch whilst I drift in and out of consciousness.
That shit can knock you about.
Correct. Literally all I knew about Sex and the City prior to this is that James wanted Big to die.
Yeah. And I got it.
God, I was so emotional last week.
I loved it.
It hit me so. Okay, one thing we haven't discussed at all today is the aging thing of and watching characters that you love age. And gosh, it's been a thing.
And whittle away and die.
Yes, it's a whole thing. Anyway, we'll talk about that on another show. Sorry, back to Elliot's email. Sorry for that long lead up. Here is my general thoughts, and this is what got me giggling at the kitchen counter.
You know I love a giggle. What do we got?
Here are your thoughts. .1. The opening scene seemed like an episode of a show where the main characters are trapped inside a television show but haven't worked it out yet. Not sure if this makes sense. Maybe it's the delirium talking.
No, that makes perfect sense. You are 100% right.
Number 2. Once I settled in the groove of things, I actually began enjoying it.
There we go.
Number 3. I enjoyed seeing women characters that are above the age of 50 just being friends, not something you see a lot. I totally agree, Elliot. One of my favorite things about this show, in actual fact, you very rarely see women on screen being genuine friends.
Mm.
It's just not something we see a bit more now, but not as much.
Yeah.
Number 4, the man that does the podcast is Sarah Jessica Parker's character should be in jail for indecent exposure.
And probably in real life.
Correct. No. What are you up to? 5. I actually quite liked Big except when he masturbated and my entire family decided to enter the room to check how I was by chance.
And you're watching the scene. You're 22 years old. Your family comes in and there's like a 55-year-old woman sitting with a 67-year-old man masturbating on a bed. That is fucking hilarious. I love that so much. Good.
Number 6 is Steve Miranda's dad. Elliot.
He's probably younger than her. Let me figure that out.
No, but he could be.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I love it. Number 7. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay. That bit where the flowers began playing music was actually pretty funny.
Which bit? Sorry, the what?
The one where they're coming back from the funeral and Charlotte walks into the hallway and there's like a whole lot of flowers and stuff that have been delivered and then she accidentally knocks into one and it starts playing music. I agree. Elliot, that was funny.
Love
and the
it.
Last one, I failed to believe that someone in this day and age would let a stranger get a hit of their weed vape. WTF were you thinking, Shay?
Yeah, that's not incorrect.
Correct, exactly. All in all, my review is worthless as I have no fucking idea if this is any good compared to the original series.
I love it.
I do too. I have literally no point of reference, so anything I really say is meaningless, but I had fun with it. I'd give it a 7 or a 6. Pretty good.
Pretty good. I just want to point out that in real life, Cynthia Nixon is 55 years old and David Eigenberg is 57 years old. And he's a good 57, except in this show. He looks like... You know, when
it's
they
decrepit.
When they put like an old, like a kid in old person makeup or like a stage play, they put like white powder in their hair. And they're like, what's going on? Ah, my hips.
Yeah, I know.
Good stuff.
Good stuff. Anyway, Elliot says, P.S., I'm a real Samantha because I don't show up to things and I've burnt all my bridges.
With your family especially, it sounds correct, like.
Apparently. So, and hashtag Samantha speculation.
Oh, yeah.
I've been looking on the little interwebs.
No mention this week.
No mention.
It's not looking good.
No, but there has been a lot of speculation.
Really?
Yep. Everyone on the interwebs has been
chit-chatting. Was there a mention this week of her? I don't think there was. There might have been a small thing, but I didn't catch it if there was.
There wasn't. So I don't know what they're going to do. My gut feeling is as much as I would love her to be in it, I really think Kim Cattrall is like done.
My gut feeling is sit down with her and Carrie, honest and forthright conversation.
Oh,
reflective
yeah.
of real life in the very last episode.
Of course, but she's not going to be on board for that because she does not want anything to do with
it. No, I understand that, but I think if you took it from a perspective of like this is like they spoke in real life and they sorted some things and they worked that into the show as like a cathartic. It's like when the Fresh Prince reunion, when the original mother, whose name I forget, in the show and in real life, sat down with Will Smith and he was like, I'm sorry, I was a dick to you and whatever.
Yeah, but that's a totally different ballgame because that was like, what, 20 years or something?
Yeah.
And that wasn't, it wasn't that actor had to then turn up and deliver lines and be a character. They were just having a conversation in front of cameras.
I don't know. I think
I really don't think Kim Cattrall is in any way. Like they're not, it's a feud. They're not talking at all.
Right. I'm going out on a limb. No. I'm taking it, look. I know it's probably unlikely, but you know me. I'm Mr. Positive over here, and I want to keep that vibe.
Who is this guy?
I'm crossing my fingers for it because this is also the only thing you can do with this character at this point. She's done everything else she needs to do, you know?
She's not. I just think she's – Kim Cattrall has dug her heels in. They would have offered her bazillions of dollars.
Exactly.
And she said no. She said no. She does not want to be a part of it.
But –
And she burnt – like there was already like a movie slated and she burnt all bridges.
Doesn't matter.
I just think – I think maybe in the next season because she's seen how well this show has been received, maybe that'll entice her. But they've already filmed it.
I understand
that. Like they've done it in its entirety. So I just don't think that Kim Cattrall would have said yes to being in it.
They pretty much hid on HBO that Jon Snow was died and then brought back to life for the next season. Like this is HBO money. They do it in like Marvel and Disney all the time. They wheel the actors in like a box or whatever, or they put them in a cloak and they walk them to a closed set and they do it. And they do like you'd only have to do one scene. You could pay her like $3 million. She's worth $40 million apparently. I just looked it up. I'm just saying it's possible. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying it's possible.
Well, see, me as someone who's followed this feud for many a year, I do not think it's possible.
Bigger feuds have been resolved, Claire.
But no, I really genuinely. Okay, so you're saying yes and I'm saying definitive no.
Likely. I'm saying possible, I should say.
I'm saying due to the success of this series, maybe in the next series, but I really don't think she's not going to be in this show. Because so many people on that set now actively hate her as well, which sounds awful, but they wish her well. They thought of her as a lovely person, but there was a lot of anger. I listened to this podcast mm-hmm. where they did a recap of, you know, it was kind of like the making of Sex and the City,
yeah.
And there was a lot of cast and crew and writers who all were really devastated at the loss of their jobs because Kim Cattrall pulled out. And I'm not saying that she shouldn't have pulled out. I don't know the ins and outs of two real people, but I just don't think she's even talking to anyone.
Money talks, though, and ratings talk. And this, if they got her back, it would shut down the internet. So I'm telling you, it's a possibility.
I agree, but I don't think it would be for this season. If anything, it would be a bonus episode that they would record and then drop because I think it's already done. They've already filmed the whole thing. It's already up there.
I've just seen the new Spider-Man movie, Claire. I'm not going to spoil it, but things happen in that movie you would have never dreamed possible.
I'm riding high.
You don't understand.
I'm telling you, this is a different ballgame. It's not going to happen in this series.
All right.
Maybe next series.
All right.
Or in an additional episode, if they once Kim's seen how well this is done.
Okay.
I really don't think that. Anyway, we're going to hashtag spare the
circulation. Oh, hang on. Just before we go. Yeah. Kim Cattrall, this is from BuzzFeed News. Kim Cattrall finally broke her silence and just like that and liked tweets about not taking part in things that don't make her happy 3 years after a feud with Sarah Jessica Parker. Here we bloody go, Claire.
I'm telling you, everyone's going to be speculating that she will, but she, like, they've filmed it already. It's done. I just don't think, I don't think she'll do it.
Okay.
Because also I wonder, being Kim Cattrall, watching that first episode where Carrie kind of talks quite openly in a way, not, you know, they're sort of saying how their friendship has gone different ways and she's been reaching out to Kim or to Samantha and not her back. And I just feel like I wonder how Kim Cattrall felt watching that, because there was a lot of stuff that rang quite true or felt like it rang quite true. And the narratives was all from Sarah Jessica Parker's viewpoint, that she was the one that reached out and Kim or Samantha. You know, I don't know. I wonder if that would have made you enraged and made her even less likely to be a part of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, possible.
Because it was kind of squarely putting the ball in Samantha's court, that it's her fault, and sort of almost implying that it's Kim Cattrall who's the problem.
Yeah, and look, again, I don't think that's
accurate. I don't think they're necessarily that's, I don't know. I just don't think you can ever really know what goes on between two people in this kind of way. Mm-hmm. However, I wonder if that would have – I don't think that would have necessarily enticed her to be in part of it. But I agree. Oh, my God. I would love if she came back.
I mean, obviously, I don't want to be like, she should come back because she needs to. I just mean, like, if she wanted to do it, then that would be cool, maybe.
Yeah, it would be
again,
cool.
If she wanted to.
I know. So interesting.
So interesting. Anyways, we'll have to see.
Stranger things have happened. All right, that's the episode for this week.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming to
Suggestible. Send your emails over to something something.
Suggestiblepod@gmail.com. And we will see you again next week.
Absolutely. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, I've been Claire Tonti.
Yep.
James Clement is here. He's
yep.
Mr. Sunday Movie.
Suggestiblepod@gmail.com.
Correct, exactly. And it's been a joy to have you.
She liked this tweet. Kim Cattrall didn't return to Sex and the City because her scatting career is finally taking off. All right. Goodbye, everybody.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.